We're not used to having you here live.
I'm not used to being here live, so you got to give me a second to get the, I don't even have the disc out or anything.
Watch out!
What? What is it?
You press launch, not launch.
Oh no, I knew I would mess something up. Oh, that's gonna be... Oh my gosh, who knows what's gonna happen now? Who knows where we could go? Where is the world that we used to know? Where is the place that I'm used to? Gone is the place that I was just now. Gone is the world I was used to. Me and my friends are now launched into where? Launched into time and space. Launched into places I'm not sure of, etc. So join me now, won't you?
Oh boy, this is gonna be great. I can't wait to see how it turned out.
Yeah, me too.
Be quiet.
Sorry. Oh, that's in the back of the garage.
Shut up.
What was your last memory?
I haven't had my last memory yet.
Then what is your most recent memory?
My most recent memory is your miserable question, but it's tied up with slideshows of old cars and tours of neighborhoods and shopping malls, galleries of friends' faces, and maps of my childhood home. Why do you ask?
I ask to confirm its existence.
I have plenty of memories. Some I made myself. Some I imagine were made by someone else and left with me like a doorstep baby.
What's your oldest memory?
I have a photograph that I saw just this morning. It's of a group of people at a wedding. I'm not sure whose wedding it is, maybe a great aunt. The photo itself is not terribly old, 1920s maybe, but it's crumbling away. It is eaten away at the edges and all the way round too, so that the photo isn't square anymore, but cloud-shaped. So much has fallen away that whole individuals are now missing, and their presence at that event, at that moment, is lost. They were now never there.
That's not true.
I'd argue with you, but unfortunately the proof is gone, so we'd just be contradicting each other.
Are you awake?
Am I awake now?
Yes.
I imagine I am not. Judging by the question. I'm thinking if you have to ask someone if they're awake, they probably aren't.
And so you sleep.
We would say, so you are asleep or sleeping.
And dreaming.
Not dreaming, remembering.
Recalling.
Not recalling, remembering. I can't recall, but I can remember. I remember without trying.
My first bicycle. I don't remember that. But I remember decorating my bike for an Easter parade and then not going. Large purple folding paper eggs and streamers. There are pictures, but that's as far as it got. Pictures in the driveway. Cannot recall why we didn't go.
I need to say a name 50 times before I can forget it.
On the off chance you're not remembering or dreaming, do you want lunch?
Oh, of course. Oh my gosh, yes. Were you bringing lunch the whole time?
I don't know about the whole time, but I have lunch now.
That would be great, Lou. I'm a little tired of all the remembering questions.
Sorry, I have to ask.
Why?
Who knows why? Part of bringing the food, I guess. Here it is. Looks good.
I can fly now.
I heard.
I can fly. At first, I was a little tentative, a little wary, but once I got the hang of it, I started to really soar.
Oh, that's great.
It's a confidence builder to fly like that, too.
I imagine.
Can I get you guys anything else?
I will have a water with lemon, please.
Bowl of the peanut soup and the check.
Coming up. My idea is that we live in a sort of kaleidoscope of memories. Not kaleidoscope, what am I thinking of?
We swim in a lake full of memories. And if we saw them swimming around down there in the darkness, brushing past our legs, we would be horrified.
The first scene is us on a farm.
What do the farmers grow?
They don't know, see? That's the central dilemma. They don't know what they're growing, so they don't know what it needs.
They work hard though, right?
Oh, very hard. But hard work alone, without knowing what you're supposed to be doing, even in the slightest, is not enough.
You also need heart, right?
Well, I was thinking information.
Ask questions like, what kind of crops do we grow? Or are we some other type of farmer, like rocks or sun?
You know where we are, right?
The center of things.
The center of things, correct. Anywhere you want to go particularly?
I have a fond memory of a river tour.
So.
Oh, this is lovely.
We named him Chopper, and then he had a little baby.
I bet he didn't. Lovely.
This is one of the few places in the world where we have resident estuary dolphins that stay with us all year round. Our ecosystem here is so rich because of the Spartina grass Captain Paul was telling you about.
What's resident estuary?
That there's enough food for dolphins all year long.
What's a resident estuary dolphin?
Everything you read says dolphins migrate.
He didn't hear you.
But I saw a Chopper back in November and December.
Hey, I'm Boyd. If you don't mind, I'm going to jump overboard and dive to the bottom of the river where there's a secret magic cave. So long. Butchie, wait.
Hey, Butch. Long time no see. What can I get you?
You don't have Pappy, do you?
Butchie, you know it's impossible to get nowadays.
I know.
Which is why it's such a miracle to have a bottle.
Hans, you are a miracle.
It's Jekyll Cave Club policy to be miraculous. What brings you to our neck of the woods, B.S.?
Vacation. I got tired of lounging around in my hometown, so I thought I'd drive 13 hours and lounge here to sort of stir things up in my brain.
I do crossword puzzles to keep my brain limber.
I hate when they have a clue like measure, and you don't know if it's a noun or a verb.
French drink?
Bois. I hate you. Hey, you got any snacks?
Kitchen's closed.
You don't even have any peanuts?
We roast them ourselves, and kitchen's closed.
Ooh. Hey. Psst. Hey. Ooh. 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 Hey. Psst. Hey. Psst. 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 Hey. Hey.
Are you trying to get my attention?
Ooh. Yes.
Then say my name.
I don't know your name.
Santa Claus.
Ooh. Santa, come here.
Oh, brother, what?
I know where you can get some snacks.
Oh, for Pete's sake, I'm good, fella.
Sorry, I thought you wanted to discover the secret power diamond of Atlantica.
What did you say?
Sorry, I thought you wanted to discover the secret power diamond of Atlantica.
No, before that.
About the snacks?
Yeah, I changed my mind. What kind of snacks?
Ooh, I think some sort of chip. Maybe like a multigrain one.
Oh.
It might be flavored, though.
Oh, okay. Lead the way.
Come on, Santa.
Where are we going?
To the inner vaults, where we keep the treasures of the Jekyll Cave Society.
What is that?
That's the secret power diamond of Atlantica. I might have mentioned it.
That controls time.
That's a very simplistic way of putting it.
Go to hell. Say, my good friend, could a member of the club ever borrow that for a week, maybe?
Borrow it? It's one of the most powerful things in existence.
I could leave my ID. Then I'd have to come back for my ID. See?
Santa Claus. North Pole. Okay. I guess you extra need this, since people are always doubting who you are.
All right. Well, I'll bring this back in a week or so.
Thanks, Santa.
And that's how Butchie came to possess the secret power diamond of Atlantica, thus controlling all of space and time. The end. Now go to sleep.
I will, Uncle Hardy.
Are you sleeping now?
Definitely not. I am sure we are driving together from downtown headed home.
What if it is a dream?
If it is a dream, I'm going to pay the same amount of attention that I would if I were driving a car for real, since if this isn't a dream and I stop paying attention, we might crash.
I'm ready to crash myself. Not in that way, but to, like, go to sleep.
Then at least one of us would be sleeping. Why do you keep asking whether I'm sleeping or not?
I'm having some sort of break with reality, I think.
That's nothing new. Butchie, where did you come from?
The back seat.
But you weren't there a minute ago.
So what? Were you hiding back there?
No, I got this diamond that controls time, so I've been testing it out.
Well, that explains it. Man, you're messing up time and all. I can feel it.
Yeah, but you can't prove it.
Butch, be careful with that. You could do the temporal equivalent of removing a load-bearing wall.
You act like it's demonic.
So, is this demonic?
You wanted a demon.
I said a spirit.
A spirit, a demon, whatever. Anyway, this one will remain your captive and you can use it to control your ancestral spirits and all too.
I don't know.
Last chance.
It seems like a lot of money for a demon.
It's an investment. You can use it to make money. Control your enemies, win friends, make $1 million. Come on, I don't have all day.
Okay, I'll take it. What's its name?
Big Toe.
That doesn't sound super scary.
It's just a name. Be sure you keep it bound up with those vines I gave you and pour booze on it weekly.
Gotcha.
And so the demon Big Toe went to live with Lou on his farm in the country. Every day Lou would check the vines that kept Big Toe bound, and weekly he would pour booze on the demon, just like the magician had instructed, until one day the demon spoke to Lou.
Man, I don't know if I like this being held captive stuff.
As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with 7 wives. 7 wives with 7 sacks. 7 sacks with 7 cats. 7 cats with 7 kits. Kits, cats, sacks, wives. How many were going to St. Ives? There is nothing in what I just said that indicates that that guy was going in the opposite direction. Do you understand? We could have all been going to St. Ives. Maybe I met this cat on the way to St. Ives on the ferry. And he's saying, hey, meet my 7 wives and all their cats and everything. Get to work on your exponents.
Jack Sprat could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. And normally this would seem ideal, but Jack, because he's on this fat-free diet, didn't really want any fat in his life. He felt it was a temptation, and so he didn't need that around. So I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hardy White.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I haven't even been in a hotel in ages, much less entertaining one. And you know, they don't really have situations like this anymore in hotels. It used to be you'd go into a hotel and you'd walk into the lounge or the restaurant, and there would be a stage there. And on that stage would be performers. Maybe they'd be doing some music, some of your old favorites. Maybe they'd be telling some jokes or something, but they'd have live entertainment. Nowadays, you walk into these Jiffy Express hotels and they got the TV going and you're nerves are on edge. But back in the day, people would be relaxing at tables and smoking. Okay, that's not so great. Maybe smoking, relaxing, and very drunk. That's probably not good either. Maybe on some sort of pills or anything. But they were relaxed, you know. Really, they were depressed. Not depressed like sad, but depressed like an accelerator pedal. Or the brake, maybe. That's it. They were putting a brake on life, and they just wanted to relax and see some entertainment. Oh, is that what you're going to be doing up there on the stage, Hardy White, now? Entertaining us. I'll tell you, I don't want to say that I am entertaining you. That's a very high bar, I think. And when I say that, say high bar, you say like in a high jump? And I say, no, I think in terms of limbo. So when I say something is a high bar, I mean I can easily get under it. Oh, I think I'll be able to entertain you. Oh my gosh, all I have to do is keep your eyes off of your food and on me. That's easy. I just create a distraction. That's what they say in the comedy. So you create a distraction, and I'll do something over here. What are you going to do? I'll do the entertaining. Yes, but they'll be looking at the distraction and not at the entertaining. Good. Good. Then the excellent art won't get worn out by people staring at it all the time. That's the problem. If you go to museums and you look at those paintings carefully, you'll notice that the eyeballs that have been staring at it over time, all that attention directed on those paintings, does something to it. Now, the colors may not fade. It might not be perceptible immediately. But the eyeball energy coming out there is wearing down that painting over time. And we know this now because we have different kinds of cameras that can take pictures inside of things and see people's souls and everything, so-called soul cameras that we have now. Oh, you're frightening me. No, there's no such thing. There's nobody looking into your mind, but my grandmother said there was. Oh, I know. Well, just in case, absolutely control your thoughts and don't think anything pleasurable. I'm going to perform for you now. A lot of times, the musicians will start saying, I'm really here to perform the music. And I was just telling some, I don't want to say they were jokes, because if you didn't laugh, then they were a failure. They were poems. They were poems, and you probably didn't understand them. There's nobody home for the holidays. There's nobody home for the holidays. There's nobody home for the holidays. There's nobody home. And now the way the inimitable style Emmett Offerson would have done it. There's nobody home for the holidays. Thank you. There's nobody. Now, if you know Emmett Offerson, then that's uncanny. And also, if you know Emmett Offerson, that's uncanny. I would like to perform more for you, but that's really all I know. I know just a couple chords. And you say, that's all you need to know to rock and roll. It's just a few chords. Yes, but I have too much integrity to keep rearranging them and feeding them back to you like they're original. I'm just going to confess to you, this is a simple thing I'm giving you. Oh, I could chop it up tomorrow and make it into something else. That's what my grandmother would do. She goes, tonight we're having yucca mane, but tomorrow we're having yucca mane patties. So that's just the same thing. You've just now mushed it up with flour and you're going to fry it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with recycling things? That's fine, but just say that that's what it was. Here's yesterday's dinner, refried and served back to you. You know, a lot of people say I like coming to the lounge, Hardy, because I don't have to think. Oh, I can just turn my brain off and I don't have to think. Oh, no, I got to tell you something. There's no such thing as a no-thinking zone. Someone's always thinking. So if you've turned your thinking off, that means that someone might be thinking for you. And is that what you want? Oh, yes, I just want someone else to drive sometimes. Uh-oh, don't do that. Don't just hand your keys to anybody, especially if it's your brain, your mind. Say, I want someone else to think for me. What's wrong with that? Well, who knows what they're going to do? I let my cousin borrow my car one time, and it came back a smelling of vomit, and that's because there's vomit all over it. And I said, what did you do in here? And he said, I vomited. And that made perfect sense to me. At least he's being honest. But I didn't plan on having my car smell like that, and oh, the odor persisted long after my cousin was gone. Isn't that awful? Isn't it funny when the smell of something organic from someone outlasts their lifespan? Someone's perfume on their clothes, say, this dress still smells like my grandmother, and my grandmother's long gone. Now it doesn't. I went back and smelled it recently. Now it doesn't. Now it smells like mothballs, and it should. I've had it in there. Maybe she smelled like mothballs. I don't remember. Maybe it's my memory that's failing me. I always thought that when I was in school. I said, excuse me, Miss Cartridge, and she'd say, yes. I said, are you my memory? And she said, why? And I said, because you're failing me. And she says, I'm not failing you. You got a C minus. I said, that's virtual failure. A C minus. I want an A. Nothing short of an A is success to me. That's a failure. I was shooting for an A. She goes, well, you didn't even come close. I think maybe you ought to be happy with a C-. So I can't be happy with a C-. And she said, what about C++? And I said, I think that's isn't that like a coding language or something? She goes, you wouldn't know because you're a C- student. I said, not forever. And boy, she really inspired me. She made me, I said, I'm going to go out and prove her wrong. And though I didn't, it gave me something to do for a very long time. All right, here's the thing. So I can't hear you out there. I don't know whether there's some, I know you're there because I see you eating your dinner. You, sir, right there, having a drink. What are you drinking? A what? I don't know what that is. I can't hear you very well. I think you said a ginger something, ginger ale or ginger beer? Ginger stout. I don't know that. All right, well, it's gingery. The great thing about that, don't drink any alcohol with ginger in it because ginger prevents nausea. And the nausea, if you keep, you won't get, the nausea won't be triggered and you might drink too much. You know what I'm saying? You might drink yourself to death. I don't want you to do that. Before that, I want you to get dizzy and nauseous. All right, promise me you won't. All right, no more ginger drinks. Thank you. A what? A Gilligan drink? Oh, that's very cute. That's very clever. That's very funny. All right, I'm going to go back to just being me now, if that's all right. I loved speaking to you there in the audience. But I'm also afraid that because this is a record, this is being recorded to make a long-playing record or an LP, that people aren't going to maybe hear your end of the conversation. And we could just put it in later as Foley. I know, is that done? I plan on doing it. So you're just going to be a lot of crowd sounds. No one's going to hear you anyway. And because all the microphones are up here and they're all aimed at me. Well, that was just one half of the picture, isn't it? Tell me this, Hardy. What if you had a Viewmaster and it was just the left slide and the other one was all blacked out? What would happen? I'd say, well, they'd get superimposed over one another, but I wouldn't get the three-dimensional effect. That's what I'm talking about with the I and thou of the audience. Sir, again, look, I love speaking to you, and people would love to hear our conversations. I wish that we had a podcast together, but right now I'm standing on this stage of this hotel that you've come to. What kind of hotel is it? I'm going to tell you right now, it's the Hotel Memory. I'm here to help you make them. Just consider this like a craft hour. I'm going to help you make something, and we're going to go step by step. We're going how to make a memory. Very clever. No, really, we're going to make an actual memory. How do you make them? Well, there's really instructions to it. And you need certain things, just like you would if you were making a pom-pom. What a pom-pom? What do you mean? Like if you took yarn and everything and you want it to be like a fuzzy ball. What do you need that for? The top of your tam-o'-shanter, I would think. Or you could put them on your shoes. Not a lot of people do that anymore. But if you wanted to, you could. And that's where you could put your memory. Now, will I remember anything that you just said? No. Why? It went by too quickly. That's the thing with the memory. And that's what I try to do. That's how, when I speak to you, I prevent you from remembering anything about the shows, is because I make sure that I change what I am saying quickly enough that you will not remember anything. So there's really a time limit. Should I have spoken about anything for a good long time, you might remember it. But when it goes by quickly. Did you ever see a train? Did you ever watch a train go by? Did you ever look at the windows? Did you ever see the faces? Why don't you blink? Just blink. If you blink, you can stop the train. So I'm just going to open my eyes for a second and look at just a cross-section of the train. Then I can see the faces. Then I can see things. That's a memory. That's a memory. How do I do it? I either shorten my attention span or I lengthen it. Now, how do I do that? With, I guess, exercise. The answer to everything is exercise. Exercise seems futile to me. Every time I go out and run and think, I'm thinking, oh, I'm just merely going to die. I even envision myself laying in the grave already, and I say, oh, how relaxing that must be. It'd be great just to lay there with no worries and say, oh, my body's breaking down, and I don't have to go to the doctor. So,
Oh, my jaw fell off. I guess I should see you. Oh, no. No worries. I will just lay here and the little bugs will eat me if they can get through the concrete crypt that my family was talked into buying. Why did you buy that? I am now trapped in this thing. I wish I was free. I wish I was laying on so I'd have a sky burial, but I might have had some fish recently or something, and nothing will eat you if you've eaten meat. Oh, even, you know, carnivores. Omnivores don't eat. Nobody eats a meat eater. So even vultures say, "Oh, is that raccoon? I think has had a mouse or something recently." Ew. If it was just grain fed, we'd be on it. Oh my good, never eat a tiger. I don't have to tell you that. Don't eat tiger. Don't be talked into it. I think I just ate some, it was ground up tiger tooth though. Okay, well, I gotta think about that. Still, that doesn't sound so good. Why did you have that? I was talked into doing it. By who? Oh, maybe a magician. Don't stop that stuff. Stop those stuff, those magical cures and everything. Well, who knows? I know, who knows? A lot of times we will seek out truths where they're easiest to find. I've done that. I say, I'm going to just open this book at random and find a truth. That's why I would buy books like that. So I'm going to buy books that have little maybe books of poetry or books of religious sayings. That way, if I could just open them up at random, I'm bound to find something that's truthful. Or maybe I could use it like a divining device. And that's the way God will speak to me. I will open up this book. I will open up this book, and this by chance I will see something, and it will apply to me like a horoscope. Today you're going to be challenged by people. They're going to make you question what tolerance is. Can you have morals? Can you have ethics? Feel enthused by them, devoted to them, and committed to them, and still accept when other people aren't? Can you tolerate that? Can you tolerate people being awful? No. Well, what can you tolerate? Well, I'm told I can't tolerate tomato skins or any carnivorous vegetables like broccoli. Broccoli. Broccoli gives me terrible... It's my diverticuli. Your diverticuli. Yes, things get in it irritated. I don't want to get some kind of inflammation or infection because I ate nuts when I didn't have to. You don't have to eat the peanuts. The peanuts aren't jumping into your mouth. That's a choice. Is it, though? I once was on a cruise with Baruch Spinoza, and we had to share a cabin. And he said, I'm ready right now to go to the midnight buffet. And I said, midnight buffet? Oh, they fed us all day long. How can you possibly eat again? And he said, I'm drunk. And I said, you've fallen for it. Look, you've fallen for it. You turned off your thinking, and they gave you more cocktails, and you're going to shove your face full of food again? Well, what's in it for them? I don't know. Really? I guess maybe they can get up late. The early morning calisthenics and shuffleboard can be later now because you're going to sleep later because you ate at midnight and were drunk. I'm going to sleep till 2 p.m. All right, that's up to you, man. And so Spinoza and I parted ways, and I went to the edge of the ship, and I looked down into the water. It was dark. I could only see as much ocean as was illuminated by the lights of the ship, and past that, pitch darkness. A starless night? I looked down at the wake that the boat was creating. Boat, ship, planet, life. Where was I going to? What was this vast ocean? I was only on a tiny little bit of the surface. What was beneath me? What was beyond me? Did it really exist? Was I imagining this thing? Look at this. Everything is local, local, local. It's just me on this ship with my friends, is it? Is that the way it's going to be? I know you're saying, I just came here. We were driving in from Cincy, and we're just stopping here because we're tired. We thought we'd get... And I didn't expect this. I just wanted an omelet and go to bed, and now I'm having a stage show. I've never played the trumpet before, but I would like to do some trumpet impressions that I've been working on. Here is Herb Alpert playing Taste of Honey. honey, honey, the winds may blow. Or the icy sea. And so with me, honey, tasted honey. Thank you. I don't know any songs. I know this is how I don't know any jokes. I don't know anything to completion. I've tried to memorize things. I say, I'm going to memorize a poem. And I sat down with Robert Frost, boom. Whose woods these are, I think I know. I know, I know, I know, I know. I can't remember anything, though. Why can't I? I think my attention shifts so quickly. I've tried to memorize songs. I cannot. I've tried to memorize dialogue in plays and things. I cannot. This is why I cannot be an actor. I say, all right, Hardy, it's your line. I say, excuse me? Your line. My line what? Of dialogue. I don't follow. And see, that's how lost I get. Oh, that's awfully lost. I know. I'm ashamed of that in a way. But then again, I like to think that I am like a driven leaf, a leaf dancing on waves. Look at that, how it's barely touching. I don't even think it's in the stream. No, it's just gliding on top. I'm just gliding on top. I'm very sorry about that. I wish I was more deeply embedded. I wish I knew what was going on below the surface, but I can't bring myself to put my face underwater. It's not just that I'm in denial about the creatures that lurk beneath. I don't want to get water in my eyes, but I don't mind the surface. This is where I live. I live here. If I were some type of very small insect, some of them are so light that they cannot break the surface tension of the water, and they just walk along it. I'm on the meniscus highway. I'm a very light bug. I'm just skimming the surface. I can't even break the surface tension. So walking on this water is to me like walking on ice, or walking on dirt, or walking on something, on rock even. Oh my gosh. Now, should a fish decide to leap up, mouth open, and consume me, I would have to accept that the same way I would accept it if something leapt out of the earth and consumed me right now. I wouldn't enjoy it, but I'd accept it. Oh, my friends, I look out on you and I think, what did you get, sir? Pepper steak. That's traditional. All right, fantastic. I see that. Ma'am, what is that you're eating? You're not eating it. All right. Well, I've lost interest in what you're doing. I'm sure that you're still eating is remarkable. Most people just wolf down their food. They're done in seconds. And look at you. You've now been eating for, I don't know what, how long? Almost a half hour. My, you must be savoring your food. I've tried to get people to slow down eating by asking them questions while they eat. My dentist does that. He'll wait until I have a mouthful of food, and then he'll ask me a question. I'll say, oh, come on. I'm chewing on this tofu chicken leg. Oh, I thank you for coming out. I know you say we're going to be here anyway. None of us knew we were going to see you, so why are you thanking us? Well, you stayed. Well, we're hungry. I still can feel thankful, can't I? Even if I haven't been given a real gift, you say we didn't give you a gift, yet I still feel thankful and blessed. Isn't that weird? I can feel that on my end without anybody having really given me a gift. That's up to me. I'm allowed to feel what I want to feel as long as I don't say anything about it in social media. Then I have to own it a little more. So I like to keep mysterious. I like to sometimes... I hate to admit this, that I have secrets from the world, that there are things that I think that I don't say out loud. Are you a coward? No, I don't know. It's an old habit that I don't feel like I need to say everything that I think. I like to have a secret world. And you say, well, you're not accountable to anyone in your mind. I know. Is that wrong? Should I confess everything that's in my brain to the outside world, to some authority, so they could judge it and so they could erase those thoughts? Am I allowed to have secrets from you as long as I don't have secrets from myself? Am I allowed to think what I will? Is that wrong? Or do I need to run it by you or by your boss? I'm going to continue to think things. and not say that. You know, a lot of times, though, people know. It's like if I said, if I had a secret figurine collection and I didn't tell anybody. But when I came over to your house, I saw that you had a tiny little Yadro boy fishing. As a boy fishing, and he's sitting there by the side of the stream, and he's just relaxing in pastel colors. Look at him shine. He's a little Yadro figurine. And my eyes go wide, and I start to shake, and I turn a funny color. And you say, what? And I say, is that a beautiful Yadro figurine of a boy fishing? And they, and you say, yes, but the puppy broke off. I catch myself. I'm no longer interested, so it's easy to hide my intentions. Yes, well, I don't really care for those, I say. Really? You say. Yes, really, I say. Why don't you try, every once in a while, switching it up, making it a little more pirate? Says I. Pirate? Says you. Yes. You can pepper your conversation with things like, Jim, like from Treasure Island. Say, I need more rum, Jim, says I. I don't know. I like my old speech tags, you said. So, I'm going to return to the way I have always done things. I don't want to try something new. Why don't you try something new, my friend? People come around to my door a lot of times and they'll say, we're offering you a new way of mowing the lawn. I say, what's that? And they go, we're not going to mow it. Okay, that is a new way. I'm not interested. Hear me out. And then you will talk for a while and say, oh, this fella does seem nice. And now I have a personal relationship with them. I'm going to go ahead and trust you and pay you $100 a week to not mow my lawn. Thank you. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I won't, because never will I want to admit to myself that I have been such a fool, and so never will I be disappointed, and I will believe this crazy thing until I die. Thank you, my friend. I am glad that you made this connection with me. I will never let it sever. Some things do fall apart, though. If you've ever owned a historic home, if you've ever gone in with friends on a chateau or a castle or something, or some medieval structure, you know that there is upkeep like crazy. Talk about a money hole. It is absolutely the worst. You say, I've had people in, and they say, these timbers are literally hundreds and hundreds of years old. So, oh, okay, what's the bad news? The bad news is that the type of wood is extinct. All right, so what's the good news? The good news is it was poisonous anyway. All right, that's great. And then you have them fix it up, and it's always this one thing after another. Like, for instance, the indoor plumbing never works in these places. It's almost non-existent, I find, in these medieval structures. And what you have to do when you have people. So you buy a chateau and friends come, and then you got to break the news to them that they have to poo in essentially some sort of brass urn or something like that. And they go, I don't know if I thought there would be bathrooms. And you go, it's very, very old. You don't think about that. You don't think about there not being indoor plumbing in the 1600s. Say, well, maybe you do, but we're still going to have a fabulous vacation. There's no air conditioning, there's nothing, but we're going to live like our ancestors did, and they were royalty. And so now, why don't you, I don't know, smear some zinc-based white makeup on your face and put on a wig, and we're going to go and eat some porridge or something. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to have a fantastic time. Y'all like to dance? Who wants to come up here and just dance? Who wants to come up here and freeform dance without any musical accompaniment? Would you like to do that? Who would like to come up and take the stage and just do some kind of improvisational dance in absolute complete silence? We'll all be quiet, we promise. No one will cheer or clap for you. We'll all just watch, and you won't know if our stares are approving or condemning. We'll just stare. We'll just look at you. Like the stars do when you dance beneath them. We'll just stare at you like the birds do when you exercise in the backyard on hot summer days. What's he doing? I don't know. Is he saluting, or is he making sure his delts stay firm?
I was once the president, not the president, but the treasurer of my high school class. And, or was it student council? I don't remember. One of them. Let me clarify. I was once elected treasurer of my student council. Now, I did not serve because of incompetence. Immediately, the administration said, no, that's, did no one else run? And they said, only joke candidates ran. And I really did run against the U.S. hockey team and Frank Zappa. And I technically did not win. But as the only person who was there able to serve, I was declared the winner. And then the unthinkable happened. Cooler heads intervened. They said, no, this person shouldn't. This person will be incompetent. And I say, you did not even give me a chance to fail. I would like a chance to fail. You didn't give me a chance to fail. You didn't give me a chance to redeem myself. Maybe this could have been the one opportunity. You don't know. Maybe all I was waiting for was some sort of validation. Maybe all I was waiting for was some confidence. All I was waiting for was someone to believe in me, and then I could get it together. Maybe the results of my poor self-image was incompetence. But now that my self-image has been bolstered, allow me to shine. Allow me to stand up in front of that student council and say, I'm going to shine now's treasure. No one's going to shine like I am. And why am I shining? Because I'm a Yadro figurine of a student council president. I'm painted in pastel colors. I'm really made of some sort of porcelain. I'm glazed and I'm fired in a kiln of experience and my own will. I'm forged into this. I'm now something new. Believe in me, I am a Yadro figurine. I will stand on your shelf and gaze down upon you. And when you go about your life and you say, no one is watching me, I will say, I am watching and I approve. Think what you want. I can watch you and I will clap. And you can think what you want in your mind and I won't intrude. That's just like a house. Do what you will inside the house. And outside the house, you can put flowers. And I will applaud your flowers. And every time I ride by that house on my tricycle or my bicycle or I walk by, I will say, I love my neighbor's flower beds. Look at them. Look at what they've done with that. And I won't know what's going on inside the house. And I don't care what's going on inside the house. Maybe you have a dining room. Maybe you use your dining room as a craft room instead. That's not wacky to me, but I don't care. And you don't have to tell me. That's your private space. You are allowed to be the master of your own mind palace. Your own mind castle. Oh, yes, it needs repairs. Oh, yes, it doesn't have indoor plumbing. Oh, yes, there's constant upkeep. Oh, yes, exercise is futile. Oh, yes, things used to be different. Nobody entertains in hotels anymore. Nobody bothers to make memories from scratch anymore. Nobody bothers to think for themselves anymore. My friends, I'm here to announce to you today that I'm standing on this stage of this hotel of life that you have come to participate in, that you are drinking and you are eating and you are getting what you need. You have come here for repast. You have come here for comfort, and you have come here for shelter for the night, and we have taken you in, and you are family, and we are speaking to you and distracting to you so that you may relax and eat your food. Don't relax too much, or you might choke on it. Now, should you begin to choke, all of our servers do know the Heimlich maneuver. They will be served with a light salad. It is dressed with a walnut vinaigrette. You will be taking a walk after the meal that is accompanied by a sort of creme brulee or crema catalana, and it will be served with some sort of white wine or muscat, and you will also
be looking in my direction, and you might recognize me as somebody you went to high school with. That would be incorrect, but I do look like a lot of people, and I get that a lot of times. Anything I can get you from the bar?
Yes, I'd like something the flavor of lemons.
Oh, all right. Well, we have quite a few lemon-based drinks. What do you think you would like? I don't know. Whiskey sour. I guess I have a whiskey sour. One whiskey sour coming up. Now, when I say whiskey sour, I don't maybe mean the same thing that you mean. Well, that's going to be confusing then. Because when I walk into a place and they say, I have Eggs Benedict, I sort of know what that is. But a lot of times what people will have done now is they will take every element of that Eggs Benedict and change it. Change it to the point where it's no longer Eggs or Benedict or anything like that. It's something wholly other, but they'll persist in calling it an Eggs Benedict. Do you follow me? Here's an example from philosophy. Guy walks into a philosophy class. He says, I want the Eggs Benedicts, he says to his graduate assistant. Guy goes and gets it, brings it back. Professor says, this is not at all right. There's no egg on this. This is just some sort of breakfast sandwich. I thought it was Eggs Benedict. And the graduate student says, well, that's what they're calling it. Now, when I've told that story a lot of times at around campfires, and the comment that I will get is that's not funny enough. Or not funny. I mean, not scary enough. Funny around the campfire. No one wants to laugh around a campfire. What am I thinking? That was a Freudian slip. It's not funny or scary. And a lot of people, a lot of times around campfires, want to be terrified. So what I'll do is I'll just sort of flick the fire on them. Say, well, no, that's too terrifying. Okay, back up then. Why don't I will tell a story. I will tell a story, and that's sort of a safe way to be scared or to be happy or to be sad. Because the story may or may not be true. And only inside will you know how you really feel about it. So here's the story the captain told. Everybody's gathered around the campfire. I don't know. This might be one that doesn't have an end. I'm sorry about that. There's a lot of fractal fairy tales that I tell. They just keep going around and round and round and round. The closer you examine them, they're just the same thing. You might as well zoom out or zoom in. It's identical. It's identical. And I feel like everything that I say is like that. When I look at it on the whole, Hardy, you're saying the same thing. When I look at any small part, it's the same thing. Why bother? Why go on? Why go on? Why waste time? Why exercise? Why exercise? We will receive. We will receive. We will kick off. We will kick off. We will grow. We will grow. We will be mighty. We will be mighty. We're going to live this life. We're going to continue to flourish. We're going to walk down that street. We're going to plant roses. We're going to plant annuals every year, even though they die. The roses will come back. The annuals will just plant more. That's what seeds are for. We keep the blueprints. And we do it over and over again until we are gone. And when we are gone, then I guess our descendants, I don't have any descendants, the descendants of your enemies will then have your beautiful things. Oh, that's the way life works. How do you stay? How long you been on stage now? Here's the thing. It feels longer than I have because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm having some gas pain. Really? I'm sorry for it. Do you need to take a break? No. I'm going to talk right through the gas pain. I think I can do it. Are you sure? Yes. You know what? You talk for a minute, okay? And I'm just gonna slightly double over in a minute. I'm listening. I'm just doubled over in mild, super mild pain. Maybe we'd just say severe discomfort or something. Now, why are you so gassy? Oh, my eating habits. Don't talk about eating while you're on on stage. We're all eating down here. Don't disgust us. Make sure you're going to warn us if you say something gross about food. You don't want to be put off your food. I was dining one time with two physicians, and they'd naturally both been to medical school. And a lot of times physicians will have stories, little anecdotes about their time at medical school. Don't let them tell them ever, especially at dinner. They're not ever appropriate. And they really, if you really are paying attention to the story, you're not going to want to eat, because all of a sudden that thing on your plate is going to be part of Mrs. Johnson or whoever was the direct object in that story. Okay? So I'm just telling you, heads up. So I never dine with doctors. Rarely do I. It's because they're often busy. They're very busy. It's hard to have friends who are so busy. So, my best friend is the most powerful criminal attorney in the world. I doubt it, because he'd be super busy, or she'd be super busy, or they'd be super busy. There's no way, right? Oh, my best friend, she's the chief surgeon at... Nope, she's busy. That's the thing. That's why I look for best friends who are like, we're just working part-time right now. Awesome. The other time you'd be my friend. I got the time. Perfect. We can travel together. I ain't got no money. Okay, well, we won't travel very far. Go on walks. We'll walk together. That's all I'm looking for anywhere, is a companion. All I'm looking for is a little company in life. That's all I'm looking for. And look, I found it with you. I'm still looking up at the stage, even though my mom and dad aren't. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know if this was, I'm so glad it's the 70s, because if I was looking down at you right now, and it was where I'm from, in 2000, people would be looking at their cell phones. What's that? People have a telephone with pictures on it and everything, and it's got TV on it. No way. Yeah, and that's all they look at. And they talk, and I'm so glad that y'all don't have it. It'd be looking at it instead of me. And I'm glad you're looking at me. Why? I'm not technically being paid to be here, but I'm being on the stage. The owners of the hotel want me to be on the stage, and they want me to enhance your experience. They want me to leave you with some memories. They want you to remember this moment as being nice, as giving you joy. That's what they want. And so they've instructed me to do that. And so I need you to have joy, and I need you to have good memories, to take away something from this that's memorable. Like a souvenir. Like a souvenir, exactly. So you go to the attraction, you say, this is beautiful. That is a beautiful wax sculpture of Mickey Rooney. And then you go to the shop, you say, oh, there's a Mickey Rooney wax sculpture mug. I'm going to get that. And every morning when I have my coffee, I'll think about this experience. And you do, and you get it, and it works. It's a memento. Oh, there's all sorts of mementos. Memento means to remember, like memento mori, memento mori. And what's his name? Memento mori. No, not the actor. Remember you die. Or try not to remember you die, or something like that. Remember that we're lucky to be together. Remember that I am thankful to be with you here. Remember that these moments are sometimes few. Remember that to remember them, we need to get a smashed penny with some sort of message on it, and we can take that smashed penny and slide it into the clear plastic sleeve of our smashed penny collection envelope and keep track of all the things that we've done and all the people we've seen and all the memories we've made. And then we can go back and we can look at them, and we can travel. We can travel in time, and we can travel in space by just using our memories as a sort of guidepost, using our memories as a sort of magic diamond. And every time we look into one of its facets, We see something different about that time, about that experience. Look back with me now. Look back at this conversation we're having right now. Put some distance between it, and then look back on it and see what you remember. Say, I remember very little except feeling joyful. That would excite me no end, my friend. If there's only one gift I could give to you as another human being, it's a feeling of joy. It's a feeling of being free. I know that your body can be a trap, a prison. You can feel pain. Oh, it's holding you down. I just pray that your spirit feels light. That's all. Maybe just for an instance. Just so you get some relief, I want you to feel lightness and joy. I want you to sit in a hotel lounge with me, eating a wonderful meal and drinking a drink and looking up on that stage as the entertainers and the musicians and the comedians and the dancers and those who fly through the air and those who train poodles to fly through the air and those who fly through the air with the poodles, throw them up into the air and catch them again. And the poodles become a sort of flying god, and they represent all the best about us, our large hearts and our exuberance and our simplicity and our desire to please one another. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining my little show today in our little hotel and making this memory out of scratch like it's a movie or a show or a poem or a story or something, or just some article in the paper about how a couple friends had a good time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There's nobody here. All right, there's no one left. I'm alone in the lounge. I have cleared it out. That's all right, too. I don't mind. I don't mind being alone here in this empty lounge. It's kind of neat. You know, it's like being at school when everybody's gone. Oh, the teachers are all gone. Everybody's gone. Ooh, scary. And here I am in this empty hotel. Everyone's going up to their room, I suppose. I don't even hear the clack of dishes and silverware. We never did. I'm not sure I put the foley in. I don't remember whether I did or not. I'll go back and check. I may have. But I may not have. Because my gosh, that's a lot to do. But you know what's not difficult? It's not difficult opening up my heart and saying I'm another human being like you, and all I desire is a little joy, a little connection, not being cast off. Say friend, and mean it. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me. It's been another wonderful visit. What am I listening to? Well, I'm just going to take a stab and say Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. There you go. That's what you're listening to. Now, that's technically what I'm listening to, but that doesn't answer my question. What is your question? What have I just heard? Doesn't matter what you've just heard. What matters is, what do you remember? What will you remember? What will you remember?
Well, that's terrific, man, but you got a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. All right. I'll say it in a different... But what will you remember? Hang on just a minute now. If I'm alone, where did that voice come from? Is this some sort of haunted hotel? I'm sure it is. I'm sure I've wandered into some place that has its own memories. Maybe each one of those rooms is some sort of memory. Maybe each one of those rooms is like a neuron, and it's storing some bit of information. And to get the entire picture, I must visit each one of these rooms of this hotel to collect all the information. Only then will I really know what's going on. I will only know what's going going on in the universe if I am able to perceive of every single piece of information in that system. That's the only time. Everything that has ever happened, past, future, present, everything, all at once, that's the only way I will ever know what the truth is. That is the truth, the sum total of the universe.
I told you!
I know you did, and I didn't listen. I'm sorry, Butchie, and I'll see you again next week.